I want to read Luke 1. He will go before him in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. I think we have all seen that the Lord needs suddenly appear unannounced.
Dann gibt es meistens Zeichen.
If an important messengers who go before and announce this coming. Lord, the Lord reminded me of this verse all the time. He wants to have a people prepared. If he comes, none of his people are waiting for him. He wasn't really expecting this. If that's our attitude when he comes, that doesn't work. He really needs a people prepared for who really await for his coming and hasten his coming. I hope that the Lord will really speak to us in this. The prophets have heard of us at the beginning. Isaiah in 53, chapter 53, he said how he is, how he suffers. And I think Isaiah asked himself, when will this forerunner come? Will I still be able to meet him? But he didn't get to meet him. And I think they were somewhat envious of John in a certain sense. Because John was the greatest among all the prophets, because they all really announced the coming of the Lord, but were not able to meet him. We're not able to meet the Lord himself. But John announced it and saw the Lord. That of which he spoke, he really was able to see himself and experience himself. That is such a privilege. Yeah, the prophets in the past prophesied something. In most cases, they didn't really see the fulfillment of what they had prophesied. Often what they saw was just the judgment. But regarding the Messiah, they missed it in a certain sense, even though they prophesied concerning him. That's why it is really unique. This assignment or task that he had was really unique. He was not only able to announce that the Lord was coming, but he also was able to see the fulfillment of his coming. So we are living in a very similar time. We're not only speaking about the fact that the Lord will come quickly, but we have the privilege to very likely be able to see it with our own eyes. So let us read Matthew 11, verse 2 to
6.
John did not only announce the Lord's coming, but he had something else that happened to him. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Amen. Yeah.
Das ist erstaunlich.
That's amazing.
Johannes hörte im Gefängnis von den Werken des Christus.
John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, and he sent two of his disciples. He was the one who announced the coming of the Messiah. Still, here it says that there were disciples of John, people that followed John. Who did they follow? John. They didn't follow Christ, but stayed with John. He saw the Lord and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." And many of the disciples left everything and followed the Lord. And his service was really made great and to announce his coming, to proclaim it. But he didn't stop and say, "Now it's done. Should now follow Christ." But he still kept his disciples. And in Matthew 9, John's disciples come to Jesus and say, "Why do we fast?" And the Pharisees, "Your disciples do not fast." Matthew 9:14. This is really astonishing. The disciples of John and the Pharisees to one boat. They did the same thing. There was not much of a difference between them. But there's a friction there. Something is not right. And in John 3, you can also see that Jesus baptizes, but John still keeps baptizing. What is that? That shows that something is not right. And that's why the Lord says in Matthew 11 to his disciples, when John asked him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" or disciples, but Jesus answers him in verse 4 and 5, and then in verse 6, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." This is what he said to John, to the one who had actually announced his coming. John must have thought, "Okay, I announced you, I prepared the people for you, and I did so much for you, and now I'm sitting in prison? Are you really the one who is supposed to free us? Are you really the Messiah, or are we supposed to wait for someone else?" Maybe in his position, I would have reacted in the same way. If he's the Messiah, he would have taken me out of prison, wouldn't he have? But he said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So as a believer or someone who really announces him, we can still be those who end up having offense because of him or who are offended because of him. There are two sides when it comes to the Lord. For some, he is the preciousness, he is precious. But for the others, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And this happens when we are disobedient. If I no longer obey and go on the way of the Lord, that which the Lord does will become an offense to me, and it's tragic. John was the one who announced the Lord, the Messiah, and then he himself missed him. Oh, this is really terrible. He worked towards this and announced the Lord. But when the Lord came, he continued to do his own work and do his own things. I don't think there's anything more tragic. All the prophets before him would have loved to be in his position, and he was in it, and he missed it. He missed out on it. And this is a strong warning for us. Yeah, what we saw is that the Lord is coming very quickly. And we speak about this. And we warn the people, and we even tell them, repent. But when the Lord comes, what will happen then? If we miss the kingdom ourselves, it will be really tragic. I really have this fear. I don't want to be like John the Baptist. I don't want to end up like him. Because there is the possibility that we will still fall before the Lord comes, that we may go astray or remain standing still. But on the other hand, we have to be bold and bold to proclaim that which the Lord will do and that he is coming, that it is now time to repent, that it is time now to have righteousness. And the Lord needs us today as this forerunner. And at the same time, the Lord gives us this warning that we wouldn't just speak like this, but that we should take care that we ourselves would enter into the kingdom. The Lord has shown us often that it is possible for some to stay standing still. Maybe we're convinced that we ourselves will make it, but the Lord shows us that it is possible for us to begin well, but then to turn into something else along the way. In Ezekiel 3, for example, the Lord says, if there's a wicked person and he sends his Ezekiel to him to warn him, and if he turns, then all that he has done in the past will be forgotten. Because he turned, he will live. This is valid until the Lord comes, that people can turn and come to the Lord and really repent. But in the same way, he talks about the righteous man. Ezekiel 3:20, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you do not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. This really astonished me. Just as there's a way to turn from wicked ways, there is also a possibility to turn from the right way through being offended or whatever to really go astray. But he says here, the righteous man who lets himself be warned will live. So, especially when things are going well and when we are going on, and when the Lord is doing things among us, then there is really the danger that we don't have an ear anymore to hear his warning. Warnings don't often come with official announcements, with an official, official announcement. Someone doesn't come and say, Philip, I'm not gonna come to you and warn you, colon, and then continues with the warning. It's often through circumstances, through saints, through family life, kids, where I don't expect it. That's what it shows, something hidden within me. It shows pride within me, or shows me an attitude I have that is not pleasing to the Lord, or where I'm like John, where I want to do my own thing, that I really want people to listen to me. And this is not something that comes officially with a warning or with an announcement, but it happens through different circumstances, different situations. Things within us will be exposed. And we should be those who are righteous and let ourselves be warned, who take warning, to humble our soul and to accept this exhortation from the Lord. Sometimes the person doesn't even know when he exhorts or when something happens that he's actually working a situation where the Lord can exhort me.
Wo der Herr zeigt, warum gibt es diese, ja, warum das heute für uns.
Why is this also relevant for us today?
Ja, warum wir diese Warnung von Johannes für uns brauchen.
Why do we need this warning concerning John for us?
Wir können lesen Vers 14 bis 17. In Matthäus 9.
Matthew 9, 14 to 17. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Verse 16 and 17. These two parables show us the background. He shows us why John, even as the forerunner, missed out on Christ or missed him. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, meaning a new piece of cloth on an old garment. Sometimes you have jeans that are so old, that are so comfy, and when there you get a hole in those pair of pants or jeans, it hurts. But if I have new jeans, no one would cut a piece off of the new pair of jeans and put it on the old pair of jeans. You wouldn't go to a store, buy a new pair of jeans, and then cut the pair of jeans up to patch up the old pair of jeans. This is what we do as believers. The Lord already said, with the old man and with the new man, that we have to bury and put aside the old man and put on the new man. The Lord doesn't say, your meekness is very nice, and now I'll add. No. If we are honest, we'll admit that our old man is so corrupt and is really good for nothing. And I take for myself the new man. The Lord is not here to do patchwork. That in your speaking, you're not bad, you're pretty good. Maybe now you need a little bit of love. I'll give you a little of love. No. in the meal offering, we realize all the leaven must be completely purged out, and you need a new man. And in the same way, when we look at his entire people, we our most fundamental problem is that we don't like to be changed. We would rather do something that we're used to, that we have come to love, that is, we would rather just leave it as it is and not try out something new. This is what the old man loves. And we see this also in the tradition of, or the history of the church. The Lord has often awakened people and showed them something new and really poured out new wine and gave new light in the word. What was it like in history? Did all the people of God willingly accept it and say, Amen, this is what we've been waiting for? But in the church history, you see that the new wine brought an explosion instead, really caused difficulties. And it is like this. If you put new wine into old wine skins, there will be a conflict. There will be difficulties. Luther didn't look for something for himself, and he cared for the truth, but the old wineskin, the Catholic Church, could not accept it. And that's why they kicked him out. But over time, because the word became accessible, then people saw, wow, I really need to be baptized. And consciously as an adult, because I know what it's about. But the amazing thing is, what did Martin Luther's followers do? They started to persecute these people. In such a short amount of time, they became an old wineskin and even let the people be killed who wanted to be baptized. And this is such a warning for us. New wineskins. Yeah, to be a new wineskin, it's not a guarantee that we will stay that way forever. We can quickly become old wineskins. And I've had such experiences before. Often when I speak with believers and you speak something concerning the truth in the Lord's word, then you can see by his reaction if he's a new wineskin and is ready to accept, or if there's an explosion. If you put new wine in an old wineskin and put the lid on, then it'll start to ferment and then it'll explode. If you tell some saints the Lord is coming quickly, and that not all Christians will enter into the millennial kingdom, but that it is a reward, that there is reward and punishment, then I often experienced how that really brought forth strong reactions, where you realized, wow, this old wineskin cannot accept this word. Or a few months ago, someone talked with me a lot, and there was a conversation between us. And at one point, I said just two sentences, you know, for my life and my decision, I want to go on the narrow way. And this is the direction of my life. I said two sentences. And after that, there were 10 minutes of fireworks, let me say. And I thought, what's going on now? And I realized, wow, this is old wineskin. And I thought, oh, Lord Jesus. And that's why I didn't say much more after that, because because I couldn't and didn't want to pour the new wine into the old wineskin anymore. It would just go to waste, be spilled. But then when I came home, I said, Lord, save me, preserve me. And I prayed for these saints. But then I also thought about myself and I said, Lord, really save me and preserve me that I would not become an old wineskin. Because what is new wine? We realize that the Lord is really always new, always fresh. New wine is living. Something's happening in that process. If you put a lid on it, it's not good. So with the Lord, we always need new, living, fresh speaking from Him. That doesn't mean I'm open for everything and I let everything into me because I want just to hear something new. But in our experience, when we come to the Word, it always has to become richer. Yeah, we need this fresh speaking from the Lord. And we need such an attitude, such a seeking. I don't want to be satisfied with old wine. Something that maybe I'm accustomed to, but it's... And to just keep repeating it in an old way. Yeah, we should chew the cud, but it has to be fresh and living. And this is really a current speaking. If new wine is new and living, you cannot predict how it'll be in a few months. If I could plan everything starting from today and I would know this is how it's going to be, this is how the meetings are going to be in a few months, and it's everything is predictable and everything has already been set in stone, then it has really become an old wineskin. I really love the new wine. And I don't want any more old wine. On the outline, there are a number of points concerning the new wine. Through ourselves. What does it mean, a new from wine? The beginning is the Lord called the disciples. They were ready to leave everything for the Lord. Their nets, their parents, their boats, they left everything to follow the Lord. And often we think about the past and think about everything we have left, everything that had changed in us. But the Lord is calling me today. What does it look like today? Are you ready to leave everything now? Even the good things? All the things that the disciples of John did was not necessarily bad. They fasted, right? They didn't do anything wicked. But there are also things in my life, habits or structures that I have, they may be good, but it could become an old thing that we just cling to. But am I ready to be shaped? Am I ready to leave things behind? Am I ready to... Maybe there's something I had always done and it was good for the time that I did it, but is it still okay now? We have to be those wineskins who are ready to be shaped according to that which the Lord wants us to do. It is only possible to be a new wineskin that is shapeable and formable if I am fully for the Lord. And that's why it says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other.
Ihr könnt nicht Gott.
You cannot serve God and Mammon.
Ja, genauso, wir können auch nicht mit dem Herrn vorangehen.
So we cannot go on with the Lord and serve God and at the same time keep my old structure, my old set habitual church life. I can't bring that with me. But if I have such an attitude that says, Lord, I want to be 100% for you and don't want to have a divided heart, this will really preserve us from becoming old wineskins. The new wine doesn't mean we're going to do everything completely different now or differently and then think, okay, this makes us new. But it starts first in the hidden part, this becoming old. Later you will see it in an outward way in your reaction to things. When you see the wineskin explode then and rip apart, yeah, then you see the outward thing, but it starts inwardly. There's not a list that says this is a list of what's new and this is a list of what you can categorize as old. Because what matters is, are you inwardly this new wineskin? Can the Lord give me new wine? Can he give me new revelation? Am I ready also to accept it and to leave everything else for it? That's why it's good to have such a prayer. Lord, preserve us on this way until you come. That's why the title here for this section of the outline is to follow the Lord the entire way into the kingdom so that we wouldn't grow old anywhere and at the end miss the entrance into the kingdom. Praise the Lord, we have such a privilege to announce the coming of the Lord. It is really a special time. And I really thank the Lord that he gives us his equipping on the positive side, but at the same time he gives us his warning that we wouldn't become old and remain standing still somewhere, but that we would go on the narrow way until we reach the goal. That we announce him and then also enter into the kingdom with him. Amen.